Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Ten on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. A little housekeeping, Eric Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Was Trev in last night, or was it a pack of wild dogs that came in and and broadcast overnight? What the hell happened in here overnight?
But you know what? You see the studio after I've already come in and done like a quick clean because I have stuff I need to do in here in the morning.
Yeah.
So I've already cleaned up a lot of the detritus and, you know, now, you know, you get the residual.
There's stuff everywhere. I'm looking and granted, I do not keep this completely clean, but I also, as Kathy has chimed in, but I do have a box here where I stack all the useless papers that I will someday get to.
That's a big box.
It's a big box. It's growing every day, but at least it is a stack. Now I'm looking around. I mean, there are these weird things. Like there's this knob. I don't know if you saw this here.
No, that one I didn't see.
It's part of a chair. Like,
what is this? It may be a part of a chair.
That's
part of the chair.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's a roll of toilet paper.
Your chair's about to fall apart.
This, I don't know. This is unknown to me. This is like a big plastic plate.
I think that also is part of the chair.
So we're sitting on chairs that I'm looking at all the parts.
Yeah.
Are on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only a matter of time.
Well, there was an arm broken off of one of the chairs that was on the table before I went on vacation.
I don't know what goes on here at night. I'd like to find out, though. So maybe tonight. Is Trev on tonight?
I believe so.
So if any of you are going to be up tonight listening to Steve Trevely 7 to 11, give him a call, 1-800-283-101.5, and just ask him to leave the studio just a little cleaner for us when we come in the morning. We'd very much appreciate that. Okay, PSA housekeeping over. Actually, kind of on that same note, you were out of the office. We watched some frantic stuff going on yesterday. Apparently, you're backup studio, as you prepared for your evening show, was not in full working order. We did the play-by-play, just so you know.
Did you really?
We did. I did a play-by-play. I think it lasted almost two segments because we watched you pacing. Then there were phone calls being made. I imagine memos were written.
Memos were written.
Yeah.
It was. Did you pick up on the fact that I was mildly irritated?
Yes, actually, yeah, that was, we reported that as a part of the story. We turned this into a live news program.
That's funny.
Of what was happening across the hall.
That's funny.
Now, the funniest part about it was I pointed out that the windows, and we can't see it now because the light's not on, are so dirty that it's really disgusting. Like, you have to kind of see through a fog to see into the studio.
Yeah.
So Ron Urban, I do love Ron Urban from Advanced Solar.
Yeah.
Texted, he said, "I'm sorry, it's on my list."
Well,
so what does that mean?
I think the statute of limitations has expired on this incident, but the reason the window looks like that
is it
my
fault. It's your fault.
My fault.
Well, Ron Urban said he's got it on his list to clean. Why is the solar guy worried about cleaning the windows in here?
Because he has an amazing construction company, and he's done all kinds of work at my house.
But he cleans windows?
Well,
did he make them dirty, or did you make them dirty?
So it's dirty on the inside.
Yes.
And it's dirty on the inside because I want to say probably 15 years ago, I threw a snowball at Bob Williams. And it hit the window and exploded, and the cold air into the warm window, because it's a big, thick, double-pane window, it caused condensation on the inside of the window, which then left a residual, And it's been like that ever since.
So that was 10 years ago?
At least. Maybe longer. That's why I say I think the statute of limitations is expired.
It probably is out. But okay, now the plot thinner. So Ron, who is doing work building a podcast studio here.
Yes.
So I imagine with his construction background, he'll be able to take the window apart.
Yes.
And clean it. So,
probably.
So that's why. So Ron Urban, not a window cleaner per se.
No.
But a construction guy that can take apart the double pane and fix it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked that question. So, see, we're solving all kinds of problems this morning. Oh my God! All right. After 6:30, I got to play for you the. There's a new song. The band heard what producer Thomas had said. He expressed some objection to the fact that we're 8 months in that I'm back, and I'm still playing the Bill Is Back song. Now, the full disclosure here is, as long as the company is running the Bill Is Back promo, I'm going to continue to play the song.
What's the over-under on when that gets pulled?
Damn it. We haven't bet in a while.
Yeah.
All right. Let's set it.
The Christmas lights are still up.
The Christmas lights are still up. That is true. I would say 45 days. And I'm going to bet the over. I don't know. What do you think? 30 days? 30 days makes it more of a challenge. No way. No, that's not a fair bet. This company's never gotten anything done in 30 days. That's not possible. Maybe 60.
That's why I'm afraid to walk into that studio across the hall today. Because it will only irritate me again.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And we will be happy to report on it.
We have the engineer on the phone. He's like, well, crawl under this and trace this and pull that and see if you can do.
Eric, you just answered the question that we've all been asking.
Yeah.
The engineer was on the phone.
Yeah.
6:16, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
Five. Hey, after the 8 o'clock news, I'm going to be joined by a new friend of mine, a guy that I was introduced to yesterday. Mark Wheat is his name, and he is the senior counsel at a group called Advancing American Freedom. And, you know, this is an organization that was launched by former Vice President Mike Pence. And for whatever you think about Mike Pence on a political scale, shelve that for a minute, because Advancing American Freedom has been at the forefront of leading amicus briefs and generating groundswells to take issues all the way to the Supreme Court. And if you heard, maybe you heard this morning or if you heard yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 in favor of the First Amendment protection for pregnancy resource centers, with the ability now to sue the state of New Jersey. As you remember, Matt Platkin, the former attorney general, and now Jenny Davenport, the current attorney general in New Jersey, both went after pregnancy resource centers very, very hard. And they were joined by a guy that I really had promise for. I thought he was going to be one of the good guys. Met him first when Vin Gopal introduced us, and I thought, oh, this guy's got to be all right. Not okay. Josh Gottheimer, not a good guy. Seems super friendly when you meet him, but he has a very, very nefarious agenda and a guy that should be tossed out of office. Matter of fact, Democrats should consider primarying this guy, because he does not represent common people well. He was the guy that led the charge to say that these pregnancy resource centers, which are literally saving lives, like literally offering free medical care to expectant mothers, he attacked them as cults and did press conferences outside their doors to intimidate women who are coming in. Like, really, really bad, bad guy. And, you know, if you're a man who picks on pregnant women, I don't know what to say about you. Like, I actually do. You're a dirtbag. And Gottheimer is really, really just so selfish and such a bully. And what he did with these resource centers was so evil. And anyway, the good news is they have prevailed. And Mark Wheat's going to join us and talk about the next steps as these centers. And I'll be honest, guys, I hope they sue the state for millions. I hope they sue for the pain and suffering that New Jersey government caused all of these honest, hardworking people. And I hope that the settlement pays their bills for the next decade. And I will be continuing to report on this as it comes. Now, I'm writing an article today because I was in Washington last week. Some of you remember Jody and I just kind of took a 36-hour pause and took advantage of some really good deals with a great hotel and some great restaurants. And I love D.C. I mean, we lived there for many years. And we went back for the first time as tourists. I mean, I didn't go back with an agenda other than wanted to just take a break. And sometimes I got to get out of the state to clear my head, as you can imagine. So we did. And I walked from the Lincoln Memorial to the Jefferson Memorial. And it was the dumbest possible thing. There's a sign that I'll tell you about on the other side of the news, but it was one of those things where instead of solving the problem, government put up a sign to warn you about the problem. Arguably in my top 10 stupid government actions. And I'll share that with you on the other side of the news with Eric Scott next. 6:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, as promised, I will finish the story of the dumb sign. Eric, you love this. So we lived in D.C. for years, and I never went to any of the monuments.
I worked there, I never did either. Not one.
Never been to the top of the Washington Monument. Never walked the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. So we go down. We stayed at the Hotel Washington, which is a beautiful, beautiful property with a great rooftop bar. And, and we walked. There were a couple of restaurants locally that we walked to and kind of relived, you know, when we were, I mean, we were newlyweds living in D.C. And, you know, that was the old days. My commute would go on Pennsylvania Avenue past the White House. So I would be stuck in traffic.
So what year
with the White House on my right. So I was there. I got out of the Marines in 90, off active duty in 91. So 92, I worked there because I worked for President Bush, the older one.
Yep.
And then we got married in 94. So I was there 92 to like 96.
All right, 4 years. Just
when were you there?
So when was Clinton first elected? 93?
92. Yeah, 92. So he took office January 93.
All right, so I was there in 91, 92.
So we overlapped.
Yeah.
Because I worked for President Bush during that campaign, the Bush-Quayle campaign. My office was right on 14th, and it was, we were right up from the White House. It was a very cool and surreal time because you had access. The world was different then.
Yeah, so I covered the campaign, traveled with him for, you know, months, and was in line to be assigned to the White House press corps. So I did that for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Really?
Hated it. Most boring job I've ever had.
A lot of hurry up and wait.
And
you're sitting in that room for hours.
Well, and they were renovating part of the West Wing. And because I was, you know, new kid on the block, I wouldn't have even had space there. They were going to put me in the building across the street. The the Rathburn Building? Is that the
one? Sure.
Yeah, but anyway. So I was like, "Listen, I'm out. I don't want
back to
this,
New York.
Yeah, I don't want this.
Where
job.
Did you live? Did you live down there? Or did you not even get
well,
that
I
far?
Still had an apartment in Piscataway because I was traveling. Yeah.
Wow.
So I commuted when I worked at the UN and worked in the city. I was commuting from Piscataway every day.
Oh,
and
my
I kept the apartment.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually
wait,
just
Piscataway to Manhattan.
Yes.
What about D.C.?
I kept the apartment. So I would live in a hotel. I would stay in a hotel when I was there.
But the city then, it started to get dangerous. I had an apartment on Capitol Hill. I was on 4th in Pennsylvania. I had the dry cleaner across the street. Off to the left, I had the Hawk and Dove bar. And then in my front stoop, I had a homeless guy that I would flip a quarter to every morning when I would go out on my run, and he'd watch my car.
That's cool.
And it was just, you know, we had this, and it just became normal. But then Bush lost, and it's like, I got to figure this out. So anyway, I ended up staying for years, and I, you know, we loved it. But by the time we had left, I moved from Capitol Hill to Georgetown when we got married because a congressman got mugged like right outside the Capitol. I'm like, if this neighborhood is not safe for a member of the United States Congress who's literally working in the building that's right two blocks from me, I don't want to be here. So we moved to Georgetown, which was way safer.
Yeah.
Still is today. And anyway, so we're down there. Trump has done a fantastic job, by the way. If you haven't been to D.C. in a while, it is worth a day trip with your kids. It's cleaner, safer. We walked at night. We felt safe. Now, one of the reasons you feel safe, there are armed soldiers
everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. So it is militarized in a way that is slightly jarring, I'm going to warn you. But, man, the parks are clean. They've cleaned out. I think I saw two homeless people the entire time we were there walking. I mean, really did a good job. But government is what government is, and the stupidity knows no bounds. So we walked from the Lincoln Memorial to the Jefferson Memorial. Now, if you've ever done that walk, it's kind of inconvenient. You've got to cross over a bridge and some highway, not highways, but two-lane, four-lane roads. And so we enter the park area to the Jefferson Memorial. Now, the Jefferson Memorial is on what's called the Tidal Basin. So there's a huge body of water in front of it. First thing you notice is that there are no guardrails in front of the memorial. So you actually have to hold your kid's hand because they will end up in the drink if they do. And it's you are not able to climb out of the Tidal Basin. Like the ledge is just too high. You'd have to swim across it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. So anyway, the pathways are lined with trees. So I encounter a sign. I just sent the picture to producer Thomas. I'm going to post this to our website. The sign is this big metal sign on a metal post. Like, it's permanent. And it depicts a man, like, you know, the black stick figure guy, right? Yeah. And he's whacked his head clearly against this object, and the lines are coming out of his head, and you see that first, and then as you approach it, like, what danger lies ahead? The sign, which is red, black, and white, can't miss it, says, watch for low-hanging branch. Not branches, single branch. So I look at this, and I say to Jody, and I'm like, this is how dumb government is. Like, look at this. Like, and so I'm expecting that the branch is a typo, and it's going to be like the whole canopy is low as you go, and you got to duck, and I get that fine. So you walk in about 10 yards. There it is. One branch.
One branch.
One branch that has grown downward, and it was about at my head height. So, of course, I took the ridiculous picture of my hitting the branch, and I'm like, couldn't we just trim the branch?
Yeah, cut the branch off.
Oh, my God. That is why we can't have nice things. You want to know why your taxes are so high? Because they put a permanent sign up for a low-hanging branch.
And I wonder what the cost of that sign was versus sending some guy out with a chainsaw.
I wanted to do my government a service and take the branch down myself. And Jody's like, do not touch the branch. It's not your branch. This is not your branch. Not your problem.
Not your
branch. She's like, that's what you need. You want to have the Secret Service and the National Guard descending upon the park? You know, New Jersey media personality arrested for desecrating the park. I mean, you can't make this up. How stupid. And then on a Jersey side, I was listening to the, did you have the report of the woman with the deer? She's going to court. Yeah.
Well, her trial started yesterday in my town.
What is she being charged with? She fed a baby deer, took the deer into her barn or garage.
Yes.
The deer's gone, by the way.
Yeah,
she
ran
didn't
away.
Keep it as a pet.
Yeah, she ran it ran
she
away.
She saved this little fawn because mom, what, got hit by a car?
Was dead, yeah. She found the fawn next to the mother's body. no rescue would take it. So she rescued it, nursed it back to health. I suspect, because there's little factions in my beloved town of Lawrenceville, you have a lot of nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
And somebody got their britches in a twist.
Yep.
And filed a complaint. But deer are classified under state law as potentially hazardous wildlife, and they are illegal to keep as pets.
Which raises the question, why can't you just indiscriminately shoot them? If they are dangerous, they're dangerous. The reality is here, your tax dollars are paying to charge a woman and go through court for saving a baby deer who was on the side of the road. A deer that she did not even keep. How long was the deer with her? We don't even know. A year? Year and a half? The deer ran away.
This started years ago.
Because deer, they live in the woods.
Yes.
They don't want to be pets.
They don't want to be pets. They don't want to live in her barn. And, by the way, she wasn't keeping it in her backyard or her garage.
She had a barn.
She owns a farm.
Yes. This is arguably one of the dumbest things. I would implore the judge to please, for the sake of some shred of common sense in the world, please just throw this case out.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
1-800-283-101.5 is my number. What's the dumbest thing that you think government is doing right now? And is there any hope left that we'll bring common sense back to government? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:46 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
1.5. So in the brilliance of government, instead of cutting down a low-hanging branch on a pathway approaching the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., our government decided to put up a permanent sign, metal sign, warning you of the branch. So a storm will likely at some point take the branch out, or somebody will ride their bike. Someone will get hurt, knock into the branch, it'll crack, it'll be down. And then they'll have to send the crew out to cut the sign down, change the sign, I don't know. You're paying for it. Then you got this poor woman in Lawrenceville who, out of the kindness of her heart, saw this little baby deer fawn on the side, little white dots, little thing, probably very cute. Dead mother, so that sucks. Thing's probably looking at the mom saying, what happened? And she takes this thing, leads it to her farm, feeds it, makes sure it's healthy, and then the deer rejoined the wild. But somebody took a picture, called it in, reported her, and now in the infinite wisdom of our New Jersey government, she is being prosecuted. Let me just say this. I will be happy if somebody sets up a give, send, go for her, be happy to contribute to her legal defense. And I will promote that on the air. So if her attorneys are listening, I will be happy to start that if you guys want that. I hope that in the next 24 hours, the judge just throws this out, because any judge that wants to be taken seriously would have to just discard this. Just throw it out. And maybe Mikey Sherrill, maybe do something productive instead of just another press conference and another silly committee, and pardon her. Just end this nonsense. Let's go to Jeremiah in Middlesex. What's going on, Jeremiah? What do you got?
Hey, good morning, you beautiful soul. I do not understand what they're doing to Bambi. I'm like, if Thumper would have raised them, there would have been a Bambi 4. But now, because a human wants to take care of it, now we're going to be like, let's fine them.
Right.
Like being a two-term councilman, and I'm on the board of ed now, one of the stupidest things government's doing is continuously removing civics and government understanding. Like they don't even know that they should challenge signs like this. Cut the darn brick down, fix it, stop wasting your tax dollars, and stop letting big government control you. Like, once they realize that your local community is the most powerful thing you can do to make a productive change and save Bambis to where you're not charging people for loving on nature or...
Yep.
I don't know. I hear you talk, and I love it.
Thank you, Jeremiah. I will continue to fight. We have just begun to fight, and we learned a lot over the last year and a half, 2 years of a grueling campaign, and I can tell you, I take all that knowledge now, what I've learned, the people I've met with, and we have formed a number of different groups around the state, and I will continue to advocate and fight, and as I said, we are just getting started, so hold on to your seats. Thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate you. All right, Brandon, Bob, hang in there. Be right back. 6:57. Eric Scott with the news next.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
710 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, let's jump right back in. So, stupid government, right? You can't make this up. Permanent sign to tell you about a low-hanging branch that might hurt you. And now a woman in Lawrenceville getting prosecuted. You can't make this up. For saving a fawn, a little deer. Right. So there is a GoFundMe. It has raised $11,000. So I will, I'm going to post this. So if you want to help her, by the way, I typically don't support GoFundMe because I don't like their business practices. And when you post a GoFundMe to your social media, tons of spam. It's really not great. Give, send, go is much better. So just for future reference, but for this purpose, you know, just because I want to help this woman out, I'm going to I will post this link later today. Her name is Cammy Lowe. Do you know her, Eric?
I don't, only by reputation in in town.
But she's got 30 acres.
Yeah,
it's one deer. Right. How can they even prove it was a pet? She fed the stupid thing. If I feed a stray cat, same thing. I mean, I got cats. If I feed a squirrel that's coming by, right? Squirrels are on the list, too. They're very dangerous.
Yes.
They're like the killer rabbits. Well, remember that Jimmy Carter got attacked by?
I run in with a squirrel, so I've
yeah,
got
you're, yeah, I understand. Yeah. Statute of limitations, Eric. It's fine. All right. What do you think about this? Let's go to Brandon in Phillipsburg. Brandon, you did the same thing. What happened?
Good morning, Bill. I did actually rescue a deer. I had a mother that was pregnant, get hit by a car, and the baby was born basically in the impact of the car. And all of this happened pretty much in my front yard at the time. This was maybe 11 years ago. Yeah. And I took the deer inside my house. It was alive, and I showered it. I bottle fed it. And
did you really?
I took a liking to it immediately, and it couldn't walk yet.
Let me understand. So, the baby, the deer had been just born, and the mom got killed?
So, no, the mother was pregnant when she got hit by the car.
So, would you deliver the deer?
Happened, I basically picked it up off the ground, yes.
Get out of here.
So, I swear, and I have documentation of all of this. I have pictures, videos, the whole nine yards. So, I took it in my house, and I cleaned it up, and I bottle fed it, and it actually began to just grow with my dog that I had. They slept on the same bed. They went out in the backyard together. I taught it how to walk. I used to hold it by the stomach and strengthen its legs so it can walk around. Yeah, and eventually it started to become a problem inside my house because it was peeing and pooping all over the place.
You know why?
Because
it's a deer.
That.
They live in the woods. What are you thinking?
So anyways, so this is in the early stages. The deer's only about 2 months old at this time.
Yeah.
So I made a cage in my backyard. Not a cage, ideally, but it was a big area, maybe 20 by 40, that had a chicken wire fence. And I put grain in there and watermelon in there and all types of things.
Brandon,
and the deer would eat. And
I got to ask you, you're living by yourself at this point? You got a family? What's going on at this point in your life?
This was on a farm. I was by myself, but it was on a farm, and I had some friends with me that lived on the farm as well.
Got it. And they all thought this is a great
idea. The neighbor eventually seen the deer that was, you know, outside in the cage and called the police, and the police came to the house. And the environmental guys came to the house, and there was a series of different people that came to the house, and they tranquilized the deer. They shot it with a tranquilizer dart, and they put it in a cage. They took it in the back of their truck, and they drove it down the street and let it out. However, I had to go to court on this whole process. And when I went to court, I eventually got all the charges dropped. I never got in trouble for any of this because I had pictures and documentation of, you know, feeding the deer well and taking care of it and it running around with my dog and so on. So the judge at the time told me a few stories, and he said that one of the stories and the reason why they enforce this so much is that a woman in Hillsborough, New Jersey, had taken a deer in the same way, and the deer was actually a male. And she kept the deer in her house all the way until adulthood. And this is a true story, according to the judge. Now, this lady eventually got her period one day, and the deer had I don't know, turned on her during this time and attacked her, and it actually mauled her in her own house.
Wow.
So with one of those stories, the judge looked at me and said, you know, your case is obviously a nice one. There are ones that aren't. So...
All right, Brandon. I'm going to look that story up. I don't doubt you. That is interesting. And by the way, that would not surprise me at all. Brandon, thanks for calling. Appreciate the story. Have a great rest of your day. Good grief. This is why we can't have nice things. All right, Bob, hang in there. I'm going to get your take on D.C. After the break. It's 7:15.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
So, talking about just ridiculous government, Cammie Lowe, farmer in Lawrenceville, owns TLC Country Stables. And when she found a baby deer on the side of the road after the mom had been presumably hit by a car and was dead, she took the animal in after no rescues would help this animal. So she did. Named her Rudy. And now, 5 years later, she's got all kinds of legal trouble. I understand that we have rules. But the idea that she's on trial in Lawrence Municipal Court, who the hell is the mayor in Lawrenceville? Who is the prosecutor? How did anybody think this was a good idea to prosecute this woman? This is such a dumb thing. And then you got the Department of Environmental Protection. I mean, that's, you know, one of the more useful, that should just be dissolved. One of the more useless institutions in our government. She didn't take the animal from the wild, as the complaint says. She took a hurt animal that nobody else would help. And she's got 30 acres. In my opinion, a 30-acre farm is pretty much the wild. Anyway. That combined with the stupid sign of the guy hitting his head on a low-hanging branch in D.C., I can't imagine how we can function as a society if anybody in their right minds, A, thinks a farmer should be prosecuted for feeding and helping an orphan deer, and you need a permanent sign structure to warn you of a low-hanging branch. Cut down the branch. We're paying for this. So producer Thomas has the pictures. That'll be posted shortly on our site, nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. Let's go to Bob in Toms River. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Bill, I was in Washington, D.C. last week.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, cleaned up, right?
Yep, and we were in Airbnb, so we Ubered everywhere.
Yep, smart. Where'd you stay? What part of town?
On Maryland.
In
I don't know exactly where because I'm not familiar with
got
the town.
Got it. Were you close to the Capitol or closer to the outskirts in Georgetown in Maryland Ave?
Closer to the Capitol.
Yeah. Good for you.
We Ubered everywhere. Every one of our Uber drivers was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that they love Donald Trump, what he did. They go to places in Washington that they would never go to
before. Well, people might not understand why you brought it up, that the race of the driver, but it's important because they would lead you to believe that anyone with black or brown skin hates Donald Trump, hates what he's doing, and it's not true. You know,
you've got a
huge black population in Washington, D.C., and it's a civil rights crisis when you think their kids can't go to school without fear of getting shot or hassled by drug dealers. I mean, the place was a mess. It was a mess. And Trump fixed it. I mean, really, I got to tell you, it is really impressive what is going on in Washington right now. Now, did you notice all the troops?
There weren't that many troops there. What impressed me, I'll tell you, Arlington impressed me greatly.
Yeah.
And,
The Arlington National Cemetery. Did you go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Did you see all that?
We went through all of that.
Yeah, pretty wild.
I tried at Kennedy's tomb.
Yeah.
But anybody who hasn't been there, you come out of there, you are a patriot.
Yeah, I agree. Bob, I think it's great. I think that you owe it to yourself. If you've got kids, the idea of visiting Washington, D.C. and really Just seeing what the changes have been. It's interesting you didn't see, I guess, depending on where you were staying, but we were staying right near the White House. There were a lot of troops everywhere. And I guess it's more of a protective circle maybe that they have around the White House. Perhaps that's what it was. But I'll tell you something. Very few homeless. A couple of unruly kids on bikes, and they've had a couple of problems with these meetups with the teenagers, and they need to figure that out. But for the most part, though, we walked back from dinner as it was getting dark and had no concern. And I have to tell you, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, wouldn't have done that. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. All right, 727 on New Jersey 101.5. Other side, what do you think is really broken in government? I mean, this idea of putting up a sign to warn you of a low branch instead of trimming the branch is, to me, it speaks volumes of just how stupid our government has become. And now prosecuting a woman for feeding a deer, it's gotten out of control. You're telling me we don't have more important things to focus on? 727, Eric Scott with your news next. 738 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, after the 8 o'clock news, I'll be joined by Mark Wheat, who is the lead counsel for Advancing American Freedom, an organization that launched the amicus brief to support the local Pregnancy Resource Center in New Jersey against the state government. And they won a Supreme Court decision. You know, Eric, you don't often see a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling.
Well, especially as divided as this court is.
Right? 9-0. Yeah. I mean, because I think even the left-wing members recognize that this was an overreach by state government to have them expose their donors. I think it was like 5,000 donors in question that they wanted exposed. And, you know, the court said, look, you've got a right to sue over protecting your First Amendment right.
And well, and the fact that you had the ACLU, which is a staunch, you know, pro-abortion supporter.
Yeah.
Siding with... You know these faith-based institutions,
pretty amazing.
Was pretty amazing because even it was so egregious that even they had to admit, hey, wait a minute, this crosses a line here.
But it shows you that not everyone is an ideologue just for being an ideologue's sake. That some people are on the left, and it's why I've been saying to Republicans that you got to stop demonizing every Democrat. There are a lot of Democrats out there that are like, hey, whoa, we're not, you know, we just want government off our back. We're not radicals. We're not into all the things that you hear. And I think that's part of the problem with social media and, quite honestly, a lot of the legacy media that just, they sensationalize everything. So you think that every Democrat is in line with Ilhan Omar, who, you know, had relatives, I guess, that fought in World War XI, and, you know, we honor those vets. Along with the first 10 world wars. Can you imagine?
I don't even know what to say about that.
She's a member of Congress. I mean, wow. Just a dummy. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of Congress, I wanted to get your thoughts on Tom Kaine. I talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always qualify it by saying, look, I'm friends with the guy. I've known him for years. Obviously, we're not close friends because I have no idea what happened. But I did send him a couple of notes. I didn't hear back. Not that I expected to, but... You know, I told him, hey, whatever you're going through, we're praying for you, and we wish you a speedy recovery. But on a political standpoint, I kind of equated it yesterday, not kind of, I did, to when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, when you're on guard duty as a Marine, you have no friends or family.
Right.
You only have a mission.
Yep.
And it's a very important point. I have always felt that way in politics, that I have principles, and it's not about who I might like. I'm not going to alter my principles just to provide cover for someone, even if they're a friend of mine. So the challenge here is I think every Republican who is providing cover, even if it's just with their silence on Tom Kaine, would be absolutely vilifying and viciously going after a Democrat who did the same thing. I would be. If this were Bonnie Watson Coleman, you'd be here. I'd be yelling about this every day.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've talked to a lot of my political friends, and I'm sure you have as well. And what do you actually have a right to know? Do we have a right to know what his medical issue is? And I kind of say no. I don't know that you have the right to know specifically what it is.
Agreed.
So now you got to rely on either statements from him or statements from his staff. And is the staff being truthful? There is no mechanism to remove an incapacitated congressional member.
Right.
It doesn't exist. Now, they can be expelled,
The House could expel them.
The House could expel him. They're not going to.
They'd never do it.
That,
yeah.
It's a bad precedent to start because now you're weaponizing somebody's health, you know, to get them out of Congress. So you have to, you know, there was an infamous case in New Jersey where you had a congressman who was literally in a coma near death.
Don Payne.
And his staff was still saying, he's going to be fine. He'll be back at 100%. And then they had to come out and say, actually, he's dead.
He was dead.
Yeah. So this is what we try to look at, you know, from the journalistic standpoint, is are we getting truthful, good answers from staff? And
I don't know that we are. I asked the other question I said yesterday is, if you or I abandon our job. Now, I don't know if this is statute or if it's administrative or if it's DOL or if it's just our company. But my understanding that the HR rules that if you abandon your job for 3 days, you that is cause to be terminated.
Without any communication.
Yeah, if you're gone, you disappear for 3 days, I can fire you. Now, we've had situations where I think under Biden, wasn't it one of the cabinet secretaries was missing for a couple of weeks? Turned out he was having surgery?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what happened? Yeah, no call, no show for 3 days. You've abandoned your job. I'm not trying to be harsh on Congressman Tom Kaine. I'm saying that you've got this majority that's hanging in the balance. You've got a seat that is clearly in jeopardy. I mean, his numbers are not very good.
No, they're not.
And I think that the prediction is that he is likely to lose.
Yes.
I think it raises a question if this is a political move. I mean, I don't know. And are they trying to wrangle in the back? The thing is, there isn't really much of a Republican establishment left. If this were happening on the Democrat side, there would be meetings. And there'd be a short list. And they would have a unified statement. But the Republicans have no equivalent organization.
Well, but also, apparently, you know, the Kaine is not forthcoming with the other congressional Republicans.
No, Vandrew couldn't get in touch
with New Jersey.
Him.
Vandrew Smith couldn't get a hold of him.
Yeah, I haven't talked to either of them about this. I don't know.
It's just nobody knows anything. And it's not even, I wouldn't even ask the question. What's wrong with him?
No.
I would simply say, hey, when can we reasonably expect that he is going to be back casting votes? Because you're 50-plus votes down at this point that you've missed.
Yeah, he's missed more than 50 votes.
And at some point, there has to be an explanation or an anticipation that he's going to return. I've heard the same rumors that this is setting up an opportunity for him to gracefully relinquish that seat.
Yep.
Possibly after the primary.
Well, then the county picks. Then, right, the party picks if it's after the primary.
Correct. So then the party would pick his replacement. How many times have we heard public officials, I'm stepping away because of medical issues, because I need to spend more time with my family, because of whatever.
And no one begrudges them that, but you got to be honest. This is now going on 7 weeks. So question for you, should United States Congress members be held to the same standards that we are when it comes to doing your job? How long are we going to tolerate not just a six-figure taxpayer-funded salary, but the likelihood that many of these members become multimillionaires after just a couple of terms in Congress? How's that happen? All legal grift, I guess. But the reality is they're not held to the same standards we are held to. I'd like to know why, and are you as sick of it as I am? Because I'm done with this. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:46 the time. Traffic and weather next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
7:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to tell you this thing about Congressman Tom Kaine. I'm seeing some notes on the app that a lot of people agree with me. Ron and Tony that this is it. We have to apply the same standards to members of Congress that we apply to everybody else. And if, God forbid he's got something serious. Guy's got children and a family and a great wife, Rhonda. And we pray for them. But I think it's time. We got to get serious about our leadership. And right now, Congress is a complete mess. You've got a bunch of grifters that are making millions and millions of dollars while we've got homeless veterans. You've got a bunch of folks that now 169 Republicans just voted. I mean, really just egregious to extend these FISA warrants. And look, I understand that the president flip-flopped on this. And that's not even the real deal. The problem is you only had literally 22 Republicans with the courage to vote against a search of your private communications without a warrant. Now, I'm sorry, I misspoke. 192 Republicans joined a bunch of Democrats to vote for the extension of these FISA warrants. And what's interesting about it is this is exactly what President Trump campaigned against. He's like, this idea that we don't have to go through the courts and warrants to spy on you is exactly what the Democrats did to Trump. And then he turns around and he's like, no, we need this to protect the homeland, and I'm willing to give up some of my freedom for this. Well, you know, Mr. President, I'm not. So I stand solidly with Congressman Tom Massey and the 22 Republicans that voted against this nonsense. And until we get common sense, populist-minded, constitutional Republicans, we're not going to have nice things. And it's very likely that even despite the 6-3 decision against these racist districts that used skin color as a way of drawing congressional districts, we're going to gain some seats back because of that. But until the Republicans get a solid plan and offer the middle, the independent voters, the unaffiliated voters, something that addresses the real crises in our time, housing and energy and insurance, the Republicans are going to be relegated to the back bench. All right. And this Tom Kane thing is certainly not helping. We have to hold our own to the same standard. If I was going to call out a Democrat, I'm certainly going to call out a Republican. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:55 is the time. Eric Scott with the news next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So as I mentioned earlier, we've spent a lot of time talking about pregnancy resource centers across the Garden State. Spent a lot of time helping them, supporting them, and understanding their mission, which is actually providing young women in particular an actual choice to bring a baby into the world. Well, as you know, the radical leftists in Trenton, led by Matt Plotkin, the former attorney general under Governor Murphy, and now Jenny Davenport, the current one, along with such House members as Josh Gottheimer, have really targeted these groups. Well, one of them sued, and that is the First Choice Women's Resource Center. And a huge victory in the Supreme Court yesterday, a 9-0 ruling that the government does not have the right to go and persecute these organizations. And it was all about the First Amendment. But I thought, let's bring in an expert. His name is Mark Wheat, and he is the General Counsel for Advancing American Freedom. You've heard of this group. I've had my friend Paul Teller on before talking about this. But they led the charge with an amicus brief, which helped provide the platform for victory and a unanimous Supreme Court decision yesterday. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Bill, glad to be back and really a privilege to be with you this morning.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time. So first things first, explain what the ruling means specifically for the First Amendment and for pregnancy resource centers, not just in New Jersey, but across the country.
Well, it's a narrow victory, but one that is we're just glorifying in.
Yeah.
The focus was the two lower courts said, hey, you haven't been damaged yet because the subpoena that was issued by your former attorney general, it hasn't been made good yet. So there's no damage. And they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Our donors are saying they will walk from us if their identity is exposed
right to
public access. And so they went all the way up to the Supreme Court, God bless them, and 0 win.
Amazing.
9-0. I mean, you know who's on the court. You have a Supreme Court justice who testified she didn't know what a woman was.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So 9-0, they said, look, just the threat of reprisal by the government or harassment by other organizations by exposing who your donors are, that's damage. You can sue for that.
So what do you expect will happen, that the group in this case, which is First Choice Women's Resource Center, and they've got locations all over the state, will other groups be able to sue under the same ruling? Will this open the floodgates now to allow these groups to push back?
Oh, absolutely is. Good. I mean, when I became general counsel for Advancing American Freedom about 4 years ago, one of the first things that we did was file a Freedom of Information Act request against the Biden Department of Justice, because they did a very similar thing in Alabama against Eagle Forum, trying to get at their donors who were financing protective legislation against transgender surgeries on minors. Well, that is clearly illegal now, right? Yeah. Those people have damage, and we're going to be revisiting, finding out who DOJ under the Biden administration was coordinating with to harass conservative organizations.
It's incredible that the tide is turning. And to get these liberal judges, what do you expect to happen? They're just afraid that government under Donald Trump could be used to go after them. Do you think that was their motivation? Or did they actually stand on the principle of the Constitution?
I mean, the glories of American politics is the pendulum always swings back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when the left sees wokeism drying up and dying on the vine, they start to think about constitutional principles once again.
Exactly. So what does it specifically mean for these pregnancy resource centers? Because, you know, Mark, I've talked about this. I talked about it when I ran for governor. I talked about it long before I was ever a candidate, and I continue to talk about it, that the money that is spent on helping these women who oftentimes come from abusive relationships and a lot of neglect, and they don't have the resources, that when they get that ultrasound, 85 to 90% then decide they want to carry the baby to term and have the baby. And it represents a true choice to bring a new life into the world. But their resources, when you look at it from a fiscal standpoint, the estimate is every dollar that is spent by a pregnancy resource center actually in the long term saves the government and social services $3 to $8. So the bang for the buck is enormous with these groups, but they need money to be funded. So do you expect that this could potentially be a windfall that the government will have to settle up with cash?
You know, that's my hope. I mean, you shouldn't have politicians like Platkin and, you know, Josh Gottheimer and others increasing the division among our society by targeting conservatives, particularly conservative donors, who know that the left is very likely to attack their businesses, maybe force them out of a job, make it difficult to provide for a family. You know, enough. We think that confidentiality, privacy, if people want to engage in public speech but not put their business at risk, they ought to do so, because this is what creates the free society that we want. And I think that this 9-0 decision is a big boost for conservative activity across the board. And we have to remember, liberal activity.
Right.
As conservatives, our burden is everything that we do to improve people's lives, it also improves the lives of our opponents.
Well, that's a great point, but you know,
that's a joke.
That's it, but that's what keeps the conversation going. Well, Mark, I appreciate everything you're doing. The website is advancingamericanfreedom.com. You can check it out there. And Mark, I'd love to have you back on whatever the next battle is. I know you've got a lot of things coming up before the court. If you can keep us apprised of these legal wranglings, because it impacts day-to-day life in the Garden State for sure. And we appreciate your expertise on it.
Happy to help. Just go to our website, look at our legal briefs. They're very readable. They're written for a broad audience, not just the courts.
I love it. AdvancingAmericanFreedom.com. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bill.
You got it.
Appreciate it.
Right, that is Mark Wheat, the lead counsel for Advancing American Freedom. Big win on behalf of free speech in the First Amendment yesterday. And it started right here in the Garden State. 8:17, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5. Brought to you by Estates Roadshow at TMT Cash for Gold.
8:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. Jill, I just realized yesterday when we had to do the play-by-play for all the shenanigans going on in the other studio, producer Thomas didn't hear any of that.
So now
I'm looking and I'm watching, and I don't know if you notice, but going on right now, the engineer has made an appearance in the building.
When he is in the building, he's here. Feel like Santa. It's like the scene in Elf. It's like, Santa's here, Santa!
Yeah. And he's got his uniform on. He's got his jeans and his white T-shirt. That's the uniform of the engineer corps, right?
Yes.
I think all the engineers at our company wear that. Is that right?
I don't know.
Team of one? Anyway, so the engineer is here. Let's just call him Tom, for argument's sake. And not to be confused with producer Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah, Thomas, so yesterday there was a lot of commotion going on we noticed.
I was dealing with some stuff, having to make every show great. You know what I mean?
I get you. You got to make these shows great again.
Yes.
I get it. Now, we learned today that, see those stains in the window?
Yes.
Eric Scott took responsibility for that, saying it was because he threw a snowball and it was the condensation. I'd like to get an environmental expert to verify that. Like, trust but verify.
Yeah.
I'm not sure a snowball 10 years ago would have stained the window as such.
Yeah, there's something fishy here.
Right, don't you think?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Jill Myra, I think, has gotten your voice down.
I don't think she has, but go on.
I think she has, but go on.
No.
I don't know, Thomas.
No.
Ask yourself a question, Thomas, and let's see how she does.
Thomas, what's your favorite food?
Thomas, what's your favorite food?
They're going to answer the question.
Yeah.
We're going to see if we can tell you apart.
I come in the morning with my protein bar. Jill knows I like to have my protein bar, my yogurt, my Chobani.
Do you have Chobani yogurt in the morning?
Every morning, yes.
Really?
You never notice?
No, I don't know.
Every single
That's
every
so funny.
Single one. Every
you
morning.
Eat in the
just
morning?
Ask Bill if he noticed something.
Yeah. I literally had no idea that you were eating back there. What do you have?
Yogurt.
Chobani yogurt?
Yeah. Chobani.
What flavor?
I rotate through honey and coffee flavor.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Watch for the natural flavors. They're not good. They're just adding sugar.
No. I'm just saying.
All right.
Maybe if you took your face out of your phone, Bill, you'd see
this is
what other people
does.
Are doing
it's,
around
it's
you.
Like it's like she's smoking like a pack of cigarettes a day.
I don't know.
It's my voice, but like five packs
Kathy,
of cigarettes
what do you
a day.
Think? I think I need a judge's ruling on this. I think it's pretty good, no?
It's pretty good, but I'm even more curious. Jill said that Thomas can do her voice.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, he was
Let's
out there that. Trying to do me before.
Jill Myra, New Jersey traffic south. So here's the deal right now. It's a little backed up on Route 1 in Lawrenceville. You're going to want to go around that. You want to go to Ewing. So that's a deal there.
All right, that's not bad, Thomas.
You can play at this game.
So you guys could flip roles for a future show. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right, here's the good news. We did not capture the voice in the band's rendition, but they did... they heard your call that you're kind of tired of the whole Bill is Back song, and I get that. Not in a negative way, but in a way
as a producer, you have to recognize that, like I said before, I'm trying to make every show as great or as possibly as great as they can be. And I think the Bill is Back theme is...
Kind of run its course?
Yes.
Well, here is a possible replacement.
Thomas wants a new song for Bill. He said he's had his fill, but at the heart of the matter, maybe he just wants to climb his own ladder. So today we fill a dream by giving Thomas his own theme. He's producer Thomas, and to be honest, he's got so much promise. He's producer Thomas. He's producer Thomas. and he's no novice, but he's an Adonis.
Wow.
He's producer Thomas. He's producer Thomas, and he always calms us and never stops us.
It's wrong.
He's producer yeah. Thomas.
It's good.
This
though.
Is his song.
He's producer Thomas.
It's so good. Back at
you. Thomas. Producer Thomas.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if that was your girlfriend that joined
Kevin,
in.
Wrap it up already, boys?
I don't think so.
Maybe. We're not sure. And then Kathy yelling at them at the end.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Is that, am I too young for the metaphor of climb my own ladder? Is that supposed to be a thing?
Interesting.
Am I too young for that?
Wow. Probably. Is that, I don't know. I never thought of that as an age thing. Climbing the ladder or the corporate ladder.
Oh, getting promoted.
I know
that. I thought it was supposed to, I thought it's like a
the answer to the question, if you're too young for most of the references here, the answer is yes. yes, you are. However, I'm very impressed that you've got the Jill Myra voice down.
Yes.
But I do think you need to give Jill a little credit on your voice. I think it's pretty good.
I'll give her like 5% credit on
it. All right. I'll take 5% credit.
So that's we'll fine. Ask you both back later to Eric Scott's voice. It is 8:28. Eric Scott with the news next. 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Jill, real quick, just for a personal traffic report. 206 Cherry Hill Road open.
Wait, that's so funny because I just got a text and right after I did my report, I'm like, it's reopened. And I wanted to ask you if I can update that.
Yeah, good. All right, it's open. So my trek to yoga will be uninterrupted. Even though I don't take that road, it doesn't matter. When one thing is closed, if they reroute anybody, it backs up.
Sure. You know, you've got areas where there's not really a good alternate route.
Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this.
Oh, no. He's got that look on his face. I want to describe this to
all morning,
listeners.
Kathy has been updating me.
Oh, boy.
On the Foo Fighters concert that's happening in Sayreville. And I was thinking to myself, why don't I care? And I discovered why I don't care.
All right.
Because the Foo Fighters launched in the mid-90s.
And they're
So I was out of college, out of the Marines, just got married, literally music. I didn't even give it a thought. I couldn't tell you any bands in the 90s or 2000s. I've now gone back because every car comes with Sirius, and you get it for 6 months. And for some reason, I must have checked the box.
Yeah,
because in my car, I still have it. So I've now defaulted back to the 70s.
This probably goes back to your subscription. So you probably have a subscription for Sirius now that you're paying for that you don't even realize. But besides that,
but there are people. Mm-hmm. Who are lined up. Kathy, go ahead.
Can I tell you what the point is? This has nothing to do with the Foo Fighters. It's cool because it's like old school in the 80s. It's
that
the camaraderie of you make friends because the same music. The line started at 11 o'clock last night.
I went beyond that, Kathy.
Okay, so you can't buy tickets online.
Yeah. I went beyond that. I love that. Like, that's a cool old school thing. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, who the hell is camping out for the Foo Fighters? Like, that means you've got to be younger than me, right? So I'm 57.
No, I think it's 50s and 60s.
We had kids.
I would think it'd be 40s.
I know what you're talking about, Bill, though. For a lot of people our age, when we had our kids, we were listening to Teletubbies and Barney and Muppets. And
when we had kids,
there was this section of music, I feel the same as you, that I had to catch up on.
Yes.
Like 10 years later, I had to catch up on music. That I was like, I was missing out on those songs.
Yes.
And that vibe.
I reverted back to the 70s.
And you went all the way deep dive to the 70s.
What did you do?
70s.
So what do you listen to on Spotify or on... do you have Sirius?
I listen to everything. I have Amazon Music. That's my...
Oh.
That's my
you pay for
venue.
That?
No, because it's free. That's
Oh, I love that. Kathy, what do you listen to?
I love the 80s.
I like the 80s.
And the 70s.
Mm.
I find the 70s some of the best background music and a lot of talented voices where you didn't have all the electronics of today. You don't have the enhancements. These are really talented people with great voices.
And in the 80s, I stood in line at Ticketron in Philadelphia for Journey. When Journey played Philadelphia, a lot of my friends and I, we went and we lined up. It was cool. It was a thing. It's like, oh, you're going to go wait in line? I'm waiting in line. It was fun.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The last one I waited in line for, it was Bruce Springsteen.
Am I the only one?
That was 26 years ago.
You know, Jen Ursillo just heard that.
I know.
And she's going to come bounding in at 9 o'clock. Oh, my God.
But I never camped overnight. Didn't you camp overnight, Jill?
No. No? That experience, they gave us wristband. You know, it was the wristband
to hold
you could go back the next day.
But
the funny thing was, my friend, her husband said, I'm going to try to go on the internet. He didn't say online. We didn't say online back then. It was 26
years ago. The World Wide Web?
Yeah, and he goes, I'm going to try to get tickets on the internet. And I was like, I don't even think our computer had dial-up at home.
Prodigy.
I had Juno. It was free. And he got tickets on the internet, and I said, how do you know if they're real?
No kidding.
I thought, what are you
crazy? What year was this?
It was 1998.
Wow. You questioned it.
I was pregnant with Sean. I could go by pregnancies, you know? Yeah. But
that's amazing.
I was into very alternative music.
Yeah.
So I would go see Love and Rockets and, you know, General Public and Alison Moyet. I was into the, you know,
stuff I've never heard of.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, we had a cool station. When I lived in North Jersey, WLIR had played that really deep dive alternative stuff. So a lot of the venues I went to were Trocadero, like...
Yeah.
The Troc, yes. Yeah. I was an MMR fan. I was a classic rock guy.
23 How about East that? Cabaret.
So that's the question. So I can't imagine. I didn't do it when I was a kid. I certainly wouldn't do it now. But lining up and staying overnight outside for a ticket to a concert, I think you're out of your mind. So I want to hear from you. Are you online right now in Sayreville to get Foo Fighter tickets? What? I am really, help me help you, because you know, I don't know how to wrap my head around this.
You're saying online. You're in line.
Well, they're in a line.
Right, line. Online now is how you get your tickets in front of your screen.
Well, I still say online, but on a line. They're in a queue. We should actually change it.
Queue.
The Brits got it right. They're in the queue.
Okay.
A physical queue.
Yes.
To line up to get their tickets, because the Foo Fighters pop-up concert, there is nothing available online.
$30 tickets.
Yeah, $30. Yeah. They only have 1,200 seats.
And you can pay cash.
All right, imagine, so are you in the queue right now, and is your plan to go to the concert or flip that baby for $200 on the secondary market? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 844 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
All right, I want to check in real quick with our friend Chef Umberto. Has an event this Sunday. If you remember the young girl, Adeline, who has cancer and her family is struggling, and we've pushed them on the air. We've got an article up at nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. But Chef, you got an event coming up this weekend. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we had to postpone it last Saturday because of the rain, but Sunday, May 3rd, from 4 o'clock to 9 p.m. at Sunset in Neptune, who's got the best Bloody Mary and the best bite of the night? We managed to pull it together again this week. I want to thank Vesper Vodka, who's backing all the, the Bloody Marys, Stiletto and Saxman for sticking with us and postponing their stuff to be with us. We have some nice entertainment. And we got a couple nice places, Val's Tavern in Monmouth County, Miracle Pub.
Oh.
Yeah, Rumson. Yeah, they're going to be featuring their Bloody Mary. We have a Legends going to be there. Never has it been done, but as I was doing my searching, we have the Lacey Elks Club. Charlie has been rated with one of the best Bloody Marys in the area, so we're going to check his out. Then we have some good food. We have Olivia's Two. We have Ohana Grill in Lavalette. Opco Donuts, of course, is always with us. And Three Brooks Bourbon and Buns of Anarchy. And we're featuring also Stacy's Bloody Mary mix. Supposed to be a really excellent product. She'll be mixing Bloody Marys with that.
And the proceeds, Chef, are going to this family with this 2-year-old who is fighting cancer. Yes. Where's the location again?
It's Sunsets Riverfront Bar and Restaurant on 302 South Concourse in Neptune. It's right across from where the headliner on the water. I've been checking the weather. It looks like it's going to be a great day. Everyone that hears this, please you know, we lost a little bit because of the rain out. We want to pack this place. So you know, everything that we make is going to the family. So I want to
all right. So a good show. 2-year-old Adeline diagnosed with cancer. Family is fighting back. Mom and dad have to take time off from work to take care of their kid. It's a very, very tragic situation. They also have a newborn. So it's like you've got a lot going on in this family. We want to do everything we can to help. So head over to Sunset's Riverfront Bar and Restaurant this Sunday, May 3rd at 4 o'clock, you said, Chef?
Yep, 4 o'clock start. We'll be doing some nice sampling of Bloody Mary's, bourbon, and some nice food.
So Uber, because you're going to have a few drinks. Chef, thank you. Appreciate you. Do me a favor. Send me the flyer so I can share it on social media.
All right. Hopefully we get to see you maybe, all right?
I'm gonna try. It depends on what time I get back from New York. I'm hosting Saturday and Sunday, but I will let you know. And if I can make it, you know, I'll be there.
You got it. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks, Chef. Talk to you. All right, Roger, hang in there. I'll be right back. 8:57, Jenner Stillo with your news next.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5. Keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
On New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Roger's got an interesting question in Ewing. Roger, you want to talk about summer blend gas? I'm all ears.
Yes, Bill,
what do you think?
Good morning.
Morning.
I was thinking, you know, you talk to President Trump every now and then, and, you know, looking at the gas prices and the fluctuation of gas prices and governors not wanting to take down the gas taxes, maybe he could suspend with an executive order the summer blend. Of course, the summer blend, as you know, adds another 15 cents, I think, per gallon.
Well, the summer, so the EPA, they actually did do this for a lot of, it's a great point, Roger. Actually, it's a really smart point. When you're talking about summer blend, you're talking about a 15% ethanol content versus a 10% ethanol content. And the 15% is cheaper to produce. But the EPA for years has said, well, you got to have the 15 or you got to have the 10 because the 15 will worsen smog. So it's 10 to 15, it's like between 5 to 10 cents cheaper a gallon, but it might cause more pollution. The reality is all of this is garbage. What we need to do is end ethanol in our gas, period. This idea that somehow we are helping the small town farmer is bogus. We're helping these huge companies that buy these massive farms, they completely overproduce corn, and that's why you've got it in your gas, you've got it in most of your food. The whole idea of high fructose corn syrup really comes from and is subsidized by the extension of the farm bill every year where we throw money at these farms, and it is wrong. We should be first of all, we ought to ban China from owning any land in the United States, period, and throw out those 600,000 students and end the H-1B-1 program. That aside, what we need to do is get back to family farming. If you were dealing with family farming, if you incentivized through tax incentives people to grow food locally, buy food locally, farm to school, farm to prison, farm to hospital, you could change this country in a very short period of time and break down these big food corporate farms. And I believe that starts with ending ethanol. This ethanol, to me, is abusive to your car. You get way worse gas mileage. When I was driving out west, Roger, I was specifically paying for the gas that had no ethanol in it. But you can't do that in Jersey. Can't do it in some of these. So it's a huge problem, and you're right. And, you know, I don't know. I have not had a conversation with the president or his team since the election, but it's certainly something that if they want to get him back on the radio and we get back in touch, it's something I'll bring up. I do.
All right, great.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But they, just so you know, the EPA currently did suspend this. Lee Zeldin doing a great job, and they suspended it now. So you can get the cheaper 15% gas if you're budgeting by the penny. Thanks, Roger. Right. Appreciate you, man. All right. Ethanol. Yeah, it really pisses me off. It's such a stupid thing that it's like we go from, hey, we got to protect the farming. But remember this, guys. Guys like Chuck Grassley and the rest of these senators who push for all the ethanol subsidies, they're not looking out for the small family farm. The small family farms are being gobbled up. They're being gobbled up by big food manufacturers, which is 90% of the crap that's in the supermarket. I mean, literally, we're down to buying meat and butter and cheese and a little bit of vegetables, but we prefer the lighter green because you don't get the high oxalates the way you get in some of these vegetables. I don't eat sweet potatoes anymore because of how high the oxalates are. I mean, I've literally, we've changed our diet completely and have maintained, if not lost, weight. And I'm stronger now than I was in my late 30s, early 40s. And I'm telling you something, it's core strength, it's focus on food. What you put into your body matters. And the idea that we have an entire tax base to subsidize corn production, and it's in all of your foods as high fructose corn syrup and corn oil and all this crap, it's bad and it ought to be banned. There's a reason why Europeans can eat and enjoy pastas and bread that we can't enjoy because everybody here's got a huge problem and it's got to stop. So anyway, here we are. 9:14, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Now, a smell just wafted through this studio. I thought I smelled like vegetable soup. And is that a sign of a heart attack or a stroke? Or what is that? Am I?
No.
Or is it the chili dog that Kathy's eating?
Yeah, it's the chili dog that Kathy's
eating. But is it like a certain smell?
Thank you, Ewing Diner. We love them. Toast.
And you're done? Toast? Are you sure?
Smell toast. Yes,
she's burnt right. Toast is what, for a stroke or for a heart attack? Can't be the same smell for both.
Good. Either way, it's not good. If you smell toast and nobody else smells it.
Like if I'm sitting in here smelling burnt toast, I got a problem.
Yeah, you're burning from the
inside.
What do
you do? Is that like a 911 call? Hey, I'm smelling toast. I'm not sure if it's heart attack or stroke. How has that worked? I'll bet they get calls like that. By the way, I want a full disclaimer here. Apparently, and I wasn't encouraging this, although they have legalized scalping, and it's drives me crazy. How many people used to get in trouble for reselling the paper tickets? Now, you know, basically the secondary market is legal and they gouge you.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently you can't resell your $30 Foo Fighter ticket because it's tied to your ID and it's on your phone. It's an electronic ticket. So that's what I heard.
You could still sell. All right, because...
I mean, I guess I can give you my phone.
They don't allow it electronically.
Because $30, you got to figure. You get a real Foo Fighter fan, which I don't understand. Foo Fighter fan, that sounds good. Say that fast.
Foo Fighter fan.
Foo Fighter fan. Wait, a Foo Fighter fan.
There was an SNL
fan of Foo Fighters?
And the one guy goes, Foo Fighters. And that's become like a long-standing
that's,
journey.
What's his name? What's that guy's name?
The guy that needs more cowbell.
Oh, more cowbell guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whatever that actor.
I know who he is.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this whole thing. Where was I on heart attacks? Oh, right. The smell.
I'll tell you. You were so many
I
places.
Thought it was almonds.
Almonds. Okay. I mean, you would think we had Google in front of us. And
well,
we could look
here's the
up.
Problem. The engineer, who, believe it or not, we saw today.
A sighting.
You have to be very quiet, though. You don't want to scare him off. When the engineer is on site,
approach him delicately.
Yeah, to be very careful. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him directly, and don't feed him.
You know,
don't just
it's so true.
Let him just do his job.
No,
because I expect he'll come in here and guys, if all of a sudden I stop talking, it's because the engineer came in to fix a computer. But I don't want to engage. I just want him to do his thing.
Okay,
right. So we may just have to go to commercial. I don't know.
So our prior engineer, let's just call him Frank. Yeah. He was the type, we'd be here in the morning.
Now, he likes sweet potatoes.
And
he did.
We would be here in the morning and it would be Armageddon, just stuff's blowing up, craziness. And you'd call Frank.
Why don't we just call him Joe? Let's call him Joe.
You'd call Joe and you'd be like this. We need your help. Nothing's working. And there would be a pause.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
He was super mellow.
I'll call you back.
Yeah, he was super mellow.
And then he would appear, though. He would just come in, and he'd always have a coffee cup.
Sometimes you just say,
The new guy, though, isn't really the new guy. Wasn't he here also?
Yeah.
He might have been at our other stations at other clusters. And the poor guy is stressed and stretched like Stretch Armstrong. We have him Monmouth County, Atlantic City stations.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
And he's got the added issue of the group across the hall right now that is a little high maintenance, I think.
But this
they want it perfect, and it's not going to be perfect.
This guy's really mysterious.
Yeah.
And here's what he did mysteriously.
Tell me.
The Christmas lights that he will just...
Was he the one that did that?
Like Buddy the Elf, here another reference. He will just string Christmas lights in the middle of the night when you least expect it. You come into work, and the strangest thing is lit up with Christmas lights.
Well, we had them up the antenna. Like, it was all the way up on the roof. Like, somebody took the time.
Right.
Did he do that? And then, although, interestingly enough, our signal went down a couple days later. So, I'm not so sure that was the best idea. But if you are coming into work today, if you're in sales and you work for Town Square Media, please do not bother the engineer. Do not feed the engineer. Just stay out of his way. Let him do his thing. Because we finally saw a sighting. I mean, it's like kind of like a UFO sighting. Like, you're not really sure what it is you're seeing.
Wait, and you look at each other and you're like, wait, did you just see that?
Yeah. Like a flash. I saw the white t-shirt. I'm like, I think he's here working on something. And interestingly enough, the phones did work today. So it could have just been a presence or a state of mind. I don't know. Anyway, I had a question and I don't remember. I'm going to look it up over the break and clarify whether it's burnt toast or almonds.
But I
really do think it's one of the two. And now I'm smelling this. And is it a chili dog that you're eating?
It's a chili dog from you eating
at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Again, I just said, you ever notice when we have something other than the traditional breakfast, eggs, toast, pancakes, other people, and when I say other people, I mean like people that come to work at 9 a.m., they go, oh, where's
they're
the
egg? Disappointed.
They're disappointed. Yeah. We had something other than
we've
eggs.
Been up
and
since
we're like,
3.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's lunch.
9:27. Mm-hmm. There'll be something I'll be talking about on the other side of the news next. 9:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. All right, so I got to the bottom of it, Kathy and Jen.
Good, because we were really
smelling burnt toast is a hallucination called phantosmia.
Oh, were you smelling burnt toast? I must have missed this one.
Well, I thought I could have. Here's the thing. I smelled something.
Okay.
I actually smelled vegetable soup, and apparently there's no condition associated with smelling vegetable soup. Turns out it was just the way the chili dog hit the air in the studio.
Oh.
And it had a smell to it. So I was not having a heart attack or a stroke, so that was the good news.
Well, that's good, yeah.
But it is a condition that some people smell burnt toast ahead of a heart attack or stroke.
So is that,
really?
That's real?
Though. Yeah. That's a thing.
Now, let me...
It's called phantosmia. Now, there's another thing that I found out. There is also... And I consider myself having an eating order.
Right.
So my eating order, they try to call it a disorder. It's called orthorexia.
That doesn't sound good.
Orthorexia nervosa. So orthorexia nervosa is a condition that says you have a fixation on only pure or healthy foods.
Wow.
How about that?
There's a name for it and everything.
But I'm going to drop the nervosa and keep the orthorexia and call it an eating order.
Oh, my God. You would do that. That is clever.
Right? Well, I tried to say, like, could I call it, like, instead of orthorexia, orthophilia. But that's already got a thing. That's a thing. It's a love of orthopedics. How weird is that?
I think it sounds like
who has a love of orthopedics?
I guess an orthopedist, perhaps. Maybe. I don't know if it's your career.
What is it? Orthophilia?
Orthorexia.
No, the other one, orthophilia. That
orthophilia sounds like that's what I should have. Like
Greek chick, I think.
Did you catch orthophilia?
The
thing? You know.
I like her.
So anyway, it's the opposite of orthophobia, which is a fear of orthopedics.
Or either way, you have a fear of and you're obsessed with something.
Well, so orthorexia is something different. This is an obsession with healthy food. Now, only in America, where we have spiking obesity and diabetes, would we call an obsession with healthy foods a disorder. So I think about that. So I am challenging the science and medical community, And even though I will disclaimer this saying I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not even a scientist, but
he plays one on TV.
I can read, yes, and I listen. So I am declaring today orthorexia is an order, not a disorder. Can I do
that? All right.
It's kind of like a ship captain can marry you.
I like the way you say, I declare on this
I'm declaring. As a media host, I believe I have the authority. Mm. By the authority vested in me from me, I am calling this an order.
Okay.
All right.
What do you think?
It's
an extreme order.
I don't even know what to say.
I'm shocked. It's not often that the two of you are speechless. Look, I did a lot of research on this. It started with the chili dog, and I love Ewing Diner. But I go to Ewing Diner for the simple stuff. They have this their link sausage is some of the best you're going to get at any diner. The eggs are great. They have a huge selection of omelets. I used to have the chili dogs in the morning.
Yeah,
but that was like
that.
The old days.
That was before you discovered.
If you think about how far I've come, we used to ask them for the Cleveland Indians style ballpark food, which was a hot dog with chili on top, topped by Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops on top of the chili.
Fruit Loops on top of
chili. With shredded cheese.
With shredded cheese. Yeah. I think they threw onions in there.
Oh. It was a hot mess.
I remember when Kim Guadagno, our state's first lieutenant governor, would come in for digging in with Kim. There's a picture somewhere, I got to find it, of her face looking at this concoction of the chili dog with the Fruit Loops on top.
It looked like when you were a little kid and your mom would say, all right, I'm bored. It's a rainy day. And she'd say, you can make a thing in the kitchen. And she'd give you all the bad, like, expired food. And you'd make we'd call it like a potion I used to let my kids do it.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
And make a potion out of it.
Whatever. They could make
not to eat it.
No, but they would make their own little glop, whatever.
Okay.
Like, I would give them all the expired stuff.
You just gave me a flashback. This came up yesterday. My son was having an issue, and I said, you know, unlike me, Michael, don't pick every battle. I tend to jump into battles that I don't always need to be involved
with. Stop it.
He's like, oh, you mean like during COVID when you wanted mom to return an expired product from some supermarket because it was like a month past the date and you went on a whole jihad about it? I'm like, don't remember that. But I feel like I could have done that. I did do this at a local store when I went on a mission against the in-store robot. And I complained to management. I called. I went back. I was so angry. It was like a 79-cent thing. And I'm like, this is expired. I know that you're paying, and we're paying a premium for this robot to stock the shelves and move back and forth. Well, how could the robot put an expired thing on the shelf as new? Oh, I was hot about this.
Yeah, you were gone.
So my kids have learned a lesson from me, and they pick fewer battles.
And you know what? You just that's smart.
That's right.
You just reminded me of something. You remember we were talking about cashiers and how we should not be able to scan our own, you know.
Right,
Well, guess what happened the other day at Target? Mm. I bought a shirt, and I bought one. I just checked my receipt yesterday. It said two for, you know, $16. And I don't know if I scanned that shirt twice.
You paid twice?
I paid twice. I have one shirt. So now I have to go back there.
Wait, pay $16?
Yes. And I only got $8 shirt.
So you missed.
She charged herself.
Mind you, they were just
little
t-shirts.
She should be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is the first one $16 and the second one's free?
No, it was. I don't know.
See what I mean?
Either way,
they owe you a shirt.
This is why I check
my receipt every time.
But will you go back and fight for the $8 shirt?
I probably will.
See?
Yes, absolutely.
This is why we get along.
I don't have the shirt to prove that I didn't buy it. You know, I got.
Yeah, but most of them will be good about that, I think. They're, you're not going to come in and fight over an $8 shirt.
Yeah.
Unless you are. Like, I think the person that will come and fight for an $8 shirt, give her the $8 shirt. Right.
But once again, we have not been trained for this. You should have a training session before you could go and scan your own stuff.
I agree. Who's the comedian that says, why don't I get a break? Yeah, he does that. Mike Marino has a great bit about that. Yeah. By the way, Mike Marino will be on stage Friday at Dina's Bistro. I'll be there hosting that show. Is that tomorrow? It's tomorrow.
Friday.
Today's Thursday.
The future is now.
Oh, my God.
I don't get you two with the self-checkout, how you have so many problems. I zip in and out, no issues.
And Vinny from Stress Factory, he says he's like stealing. He goes,
I don't get it.
I go, beep.
Vinny. Listen, we could tell Vinny stories for the next three shows. All right, guys, it's 9:45. Fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Hey, guys, as I wrap up and get out of here, just ask you to do me a favor and say a prayer for a young woman. Her name is Jennifer Horifus. And as you know, I spend time helping my very good friend Martino Cartier, who founded and runs Wigs and Wishes, which is an incredible charity helping women feel as normal as possible when they're battling cancer and lose their hair. And they provide wigs, really high-end wigs. And at the event every year at their gala, we have a Queen of the Night. And Jennifer was our Queen of the Night in 2024. And sadly, cancer is back, and she's now had 5 brain surgeries in the past 6 months, and the doctors can't do anything more. She does not have much time. She's in hospice care at home, and she's got a family, husband, and kids. And I just wanted you to join me in saying a prayer for Jennifer Horifus and her family. She battled courageously, and sadly, the cancer's going to take this round. But we know that, you know, your prayers do mean something and your help. And I will share a link if you can help the family. I'll put that up tomorrow on the website. Just wanted you to know that sometimes it goes the other way. But as long as we stay faithful and have and are prayerful and stand up for people that are in these fights and help their families, we can move forward. So thank you for everything you did to support this. Wigs and Wishes, and I would encourage you to continue to support this incredible charity, Wigs and Wishes. But for now, just please say a prayer for Jennifer Horifus and her family. Okay, got to get out of here. It's 9:55. I am Bill Spadia. I will see you tomorrow at 6.